Star Trek Discovery has a big new cast member, and we've got time with them to talk about what to expect this season. I'm Roger Chang, and this is your Daily Charge. With me is David Ajala, who plays Cleveland Booker, serves as our guide into the new future that the crew of Discovery has found themselves in. Welcome, David.
Greetings. Thank you for having me.
So you're the newest addition to the cast. Tell me a little bit about Book.
So Cleveland Booker, we're introduced to this new character in the first episode of the new season. What's really cool about the introduction of this episode is you see Cleveland Booker in a high-stakes chase. He's on a very personal mission, which we'll understand throughout the season what he does. Cleveland Booker is a character that's going to bring levity, fun, and a different spontaneous dynamic to the franchise, which we may not have had before.
And I know you can't get into details, but how does he get involved with the crew of the Discovery? Because he's not part of the Federation. He's definitely outside of that. So how do the two sides meet?
I think do see Cleveland Booker in episode one. We see the Red Angel, Michael Burnham, literally crash lands onto Cleveland Booker's ship. And then they land on a new planet, which will be revealed soon. And they form a relationship. They form a relationship which will allow Cleveland Booker to become integrated within the Federation, but still keep that sense of self-identity within the Federation. He doesn't lose himself within the Federation. And hopefully the Federation and Cleveland Booker should complement each other.
Got it. Yeah, talk a little bit about that, because obviously you're coming from a different perspective. You're not being catapulted into the future, 900 years in the future, like the rest of the crew. You've lived this life in this era. Talk a little bit about how that works, that dynamic works, that different perspective versus sort of the core Discovery crew.
Yeah, for sure. So for Cleveland Booker, this is a world that he's integrated in and he understands thoroughly. And just even in terms of technology, like his ship is very advanced. So later on in the season, we'll see how Cleveland Booker is able to offer up his services, especially not just because of his understanding of the new world, but because of the ship that he has. So he's able to collaborate with the Federation and do missions that they ordinarily wouldn't be able to do. You know, he has access to some unsavory parts of the world.
That is an intriguing tease. Obviously, CNET's a tech site, so I want to talk about the tech and the tech in Star Trek in particular. Like, what can you talk about? What can you tease with some of this unsavory technology capabilities that that your character has access to?
So in episode one, there's a really, really cool scene where we go to the Mercantile, which is like the underground market for where you'll see a lot of unsavory characters. But nonetheless, there's a lot of technology, equipment, cargo, and shipments that go through the different avenues of this market. Technology-wise, it's pretty incredible, this episode. But there is one specific gun that I would like to speak about. I call this gun Talawa. Talawa means small but mighty. It's a really small gun like that, and it's the one that Cleveland Booker actually uses in the trailer. It's a gun that you pull out, and then you push it in, and then it shoots. That gun, in terms of technology and being 1,000 years into the future, is mightily impressive. The episode and that sequence of being in the Mercantile really does bring the audience into understanding the new world from a perspective of the technology and how advanced it is. And I'm really excited for people to see that.
Gotcha. You know, I talked with Michelle about grounding some of the technology and the science into reality. I'm just curious if you sort of seen the connections between the technology you're using on the show and so the stuff we use every day and how that kind of relates to each other.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, here's the thing. You're going 1,000 years into the future, so a lot of it is going to be imagination. But at the same time, like you said, you do want to root it in something that is not just tangible, but also practical. And I suppose it's a testament to the writers of this season, because they've had to embrace having so much freedom to create, but then at the same time, grounding it. And we've managed to do quite a bit of it in a really, really cool way.
I'm looking forward to seeing that for sure. Curious, were you a Star Trek fan before all of this?
No, I was very aware of Star Trek. I'm massively aware. I mean, look, it's part of popular culture, you know. And Star Trek is just one of those very special TV shows which has managed to stand the test of time and always find itself to be relevant, especially with social commentary. Well, what I really love about Star Trek is Star Trek, for me, and I'm sure for many other people, has always been at the forefront of normalizing diversity and pushing the boundaries in a really, really cool way. It created a platform where people felt empowered to know that being smart is actually cool. And I think that's one of the things that I connected to with Star Trek, even though I wasn't a fan, per se, of the show.
Got it. And you're not a stranger to the genre fare. I know you were on Night Flyers, you were on Supergirl, a number of different of these so-called geek properties. But what was it like joining Star Trek, when, you know, sort of the granddaddy of these pop culture sci-fi properties?
it was surreal, because I didn't see Star Trek on my peripheral at all. And I guess as an actor, maybe there are some specific projects, movies or TV shows that you want to work on. But my main avenue into choosing projects is always the character. So when I spoke with Alex Kurtzman and Michelle Paradise, who are the showrunners of Star Trek Discovery, they pitched this character, which seemed so fresh, cool. And I think artistically, the synergy of this character and where I was as David, it just clicked. It just clicked. It was about a guy who had to find a purpose bigger than himself in order to find his identity. And there was something quite selfless and special about that, that I really wanted to kind of delve into. So to be able to be part of this franchise with a character like Cleveland Booker is a really, really wonderful blessing.
That's great. Well, you talked a little bit about sort of bringing some levity to the show and some more personality. How would you describe the tone of the show this season versus previous seasons? And I know you weren't on those other shows, but I'm just those seasons, but how does it differ this year?
Well, I think what's interesting about this season is we're all in unfamiliar territory, physically, emotionally, geographically. And so we're all trying to reestablish and re-understand our identity within this new world. What Cleveland Booker does is just innately in his character, he is someone who always embraces levity. And what I really love about Cleveland Booker's relationship with Michael Burnham is that these two characters are so different, but throughout the season will bring out the best in each other because they see their similarities in each other. I'm very excited for fans of the show to see new sides of Michael Burnham that they may not have seen before under the influence of Cleveland Booker. I'm looking forward to that.
Sounds like she gets into a bit of mischief from the way you're laughing.
Just a little bit.
I asked this of all the Star Trek cast and showrunners, but what technology would you like to see come to life, be available to you now?
Oh, wow. It would have to be the transporters.
Very popular answer.
it would just have to be. It's that they're incredible. And you'll see, again, in the first episode especially, there's a lot of transporter action going on.
Got it. And in terms of real-life gadgets, are there any particular gadgets you're really into, you're proud of, or you use all the time?
I haven't got them with me now, but I love my wireless headphones. They're great.
Sure.
And they're waterproof as well. I like to swim, so it just means that I can just knock them on, listen to some music, zen and swim. Do you know what? I loved, and maybe this is just being a bit nostalgic, I used to love Tamagotchis. It's such a throwback. I used to love Tamagotchis because the idea that you could have this little pet on this tiny little screen and it'll do a doo-doo, and you have to clean it up, and you have to feed it. If you don't feed it, it dies. Yeah, there's something about Tamagotchis that, take me back to my childhood.
Definitely, and you don't actually have to clean any real doo-doo up, so that's
which is great.
Easier. That's
for sure.
Well, thank you, David, for your time. Really appreciate it. It's been David Ajala, the newest addition to Star Trek Discovery. Check it out.
Check it out, indeed. Thank you, Roger.
You can read my story on Star Trek Discovery's crazy new season on CNET.com. If you have any questions, hit us up on Twitter at The Daily Charge. And if you'd like to receive direct text messages from me, text 646-461-4291 to sign up. Also, please subscribe and rate the show. It really helps us out. For The Daily Charge, I'm Roger Chang. Thanks for listening.